Lord, every one of us has lots of stuff going on, things running through our heads and our hearts. We pray that as we come to talk about you and to submit ourselves to you, because that's what the space is for, help us to just quiet our minds, quiet our hearts, to make room for you. Help us to do the thing we've been talking about, to pay attention to your presence with us, to recognize your living spirit. I pray that for myself, as I speak, and for everybody else in here. Together, Lord, use this space to allow your kingdom to come in us. We pray in your name, Jesus, with thanks and great hope. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, welcome. Get throw down some extra seats. Come on in, guys. Come on in. Yeah, we're getting close to the end of at least this section of the newcomers class. So this is the last kind of normal one of the classes that I teach. Next week, Robert, if you don't know Robert, he's the senior pastor, will come in and talk about confirmation. And then the 2 weeks after that, we're going to introduce, you're going to hear from a lot of different people who are introducing sort of the first week. It's all about different things going on in the church. People who lead in different areas are going to come and tell you about kind of what goes on in their area. And the next week, the guy who oversees our missions programs will come in and describe that to you. And the whole time I'll be in the back going, because I like to talk about that too. And then we're off a week. Is that right? That's when the picnic is?
Yes.
And then after the picnic, I'm going to do two more sessions, and then we're done. So that's the plan. That's the schedule. So this whole class has been about, as we've said before, come on in, guys. You can sit by me if you want. This whole class has been about how the stuff that happens in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, this liturgy, doesn't just stay there. How it's a model, in a way, for a way that we can live our lives that actually begins to change not just what we know, but what we love and who we are, more and more allowing us to become people who follow Jesus. And we made it through the service. Last week we did benediction and sending. So going out, having been blessed by God, we're sent out into the world. And just in the way of review about that, basically what we said is that, kind of reaching back to the week before, we're sacramental people. And so we said, what's a sacrament? Well, a sacrament is anything that we give to God and consecrate to him that he then uses as a tool, essentially, to bless his people, to bring healing and life and blessing. And so just like the bread and the wine have been given to God, consecrated, they become vehicles for blessing to his people. So we also, giving ourselves to God, become instruments through our worship. We consecrate ourselves to God. We give ourselves to God. And we become instruments of blessing and healing to the world. And we're sent out, just like the bread and the wine, to be instruments, to be means of grace in a way, blessing to the world. And we said that, again, going back to week one, that this is great news because it's not something we have to make up or generate. God is already at work in the world. One of the things we've affirmed over and over again is that Jesus Christ is alive, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, he is moving in the world. He is at work among us. And so the question isn't, is God going to save the world? He is. He already has and is doing it. The question is, do I want to be a part of that? I don't have to be. He won't make me. But he is moving, and he invites me to participate in what he's doing, to join him, kind of like a kid working with a parent. You know, if I'm building a house in the backyard, like a playhouse or something, I invite my kid to do it with me, not because I need his help. In fact, it makes it harder when my son joins me on a project. But it's good. Because I love him, I want him to do that with me. And it's in doing that work together, our relationship is deepened, and he is matured, he grows, and I receive his love through it. And so that's what it's like. God is at work building a kingdom, in a sense, and he invites us as kids to come out with our hammers and our nails and to mess it up all over the place, but to be with him while he does it and to grow and become mature in the process. And so that's what mission is like. The question before us is whether or not we want to go in the backyard with Dad. You know, are we going to participate? Are we gonna bake the casserole with Mom? Will we do these things? I got to throw this in. We also said that because that's the nature of mission, mission isn't like a thing that we add on to our lives. It's fundamental to who we are. Our Father is the King. We are his children. And so to be a follower of Christ is to be someone who is sharing his mission, sent out into the world to represent him and live for him. It's not something we just get in trouble for not doing. It's part of who we are. And so if we want to realize the fullness of who God has made us to be, then we're invited to do the things he's made us to do. And so that's really good news. It means we have a way forward. And as a segue into this week, part of the good news, too, is that not only do we not have to do it all ourselves, we can trust that God is doing it and that he's not going to use us up and burn us out. He actually loves us, and that's why he invites us in. We also don't have to do it alone. Not only do we have the Spirit, we also have the community of the church to do it with. This week's topic is the church. This is one that I added last year. This wasn't part of the newcomers class before, but it's one that I've noticed that I think is super important because partly of our culture. So if we've been looking at the service, this last one is sort of the context of the service. We're worshiping God together. So what about that? Well, the question that I pose to you today is, do we need the church? Is the church worth it? Is it worth it? Let's be honest. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but who's been hurt by the church? Anybody? Probably all of you if you've been in church for very long. Relationships are hard. They are costly. They are messy. And the church, it turns out, is imperfect and disappointing. It's kind of a mess. It's full of messy people, right? It's a cliche thing that is said, but, you know, it's like, if you find a perfect church, don't let me go because then it'll be messed up. Or, you know, the only perfect church is one with nobody in it. Those kinds of things get said all the time, but they're true. Like, as soon as you bring two people together, you're going to have conflict and disagreement. And you might come to a church and maybe it's, I mean, this is a place where people are coming and hopefully finding good things at St. Andrews. But if you stick around long enough, we'll disappoint you. I will disappoint you. Give me time, you know? It's inevitable because I'm a human being and we all are here. And so the question, if that's true, if that's what the church is like, then why bother? Why participate in something like this that's gonna be costly and messy and probably end up disappointing you? Well, I wanna argue this. I think it seems like it's not worth it sometimes because we misunderstand what the church is. We misunderstand what it's for. We've all been influenced by the culture we live in, by America in 2018 and everything that came up to it that we grew up with. And a lot of us, I think, without realizing it, have kind of believed, and you'll have to sort of examine this for yourself, that Christianity is all about, it's just between me and Jesus, and that the church's role is basically to be a self-help resource for my personal spirituality. It's a place where I can go and get help to do a better job of working out things between me and Jesus. And that's kind of the end of the story. It's a place where I can get help living life on my own terms. Or perhaps get help just to work out things between me and Jesus. But I'm going to argue that that's not what the church is and that's not what the church is for. The church is messy. It always has been. And it's good news to recognize that. And, you know, if you've listened to teaching very much, all you have to do is look at the epistles, right? Like, pretty much the whole New Testament is, you've got the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, then you've got the epistles, a bunch of letters where church leaders are writing letters to the different churches, mostly trying to straighten them out because they were already a mess coming out of the gates, right? Like, already things were crazy and not going that smoothly. It's always been that way, so there's no mistake there. But what's also clear in the New Testament is that the church is God's idea. It's something he started, and it's his chosen vehicle for working in the world. It's his plan. It's what he's always been doing, making a people for himself to be in relationship with him and to go as witnesses into the world. So if the church isn't merely a personal resource for my spiritual life to grow, then what is it? What am I signing up for? This class is a lot of things. It's a discipleship class, but it's also, for some people, the way into the church, right? This is how we move towards confirmation. And so partly what I want to talk about is if I'm going to do that, what exactly am I signing up for? Like, what am I getting in on when I say that I want to do that? Well, I'll offer you three biblical metaphors this morning to look at what the church actually is and why it matters and why it just might be worth it. The first metaphor is that the church is like a new nation. The New Testament, in the New Testament, Jesus constantly talks about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? You know, and if you look a little further back, obviously God's move before establishing the church was to create an actual literal nation in Israel, right? He created a people who would represent him to the world. And in a way, the church is what Israel was always supposed to be. It's not a political entity, but it is a people set apart, the place where the kingdom of God is coming, where it's being realized. So let's unpack this metaphor a little bit. In the kingdom of God, Jesus is king, right? He is Lord. And the church is the place where his rule is manifest. When he prays, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," the church is the amen to that. It's the place where things are different. So let me ask you this. I want you to think about how being an American affects your life. If you've ever been in another country, it's much easier to answer this question because you have something to compare it to. I might ask, how did you learn how to be an American, right? Like the country you live in, the culture that you live in, it affects everything that you do. It affects how you think about yourself, how you think about raising kids, how you think about eating and working and sleeping and self-value. It affects everything in your life. It affects what you think is important. Well, the kingdom of God is like a nation in that sense. It's like a culture in that sense. To be a part of a kingdom of God is to have a different set of allegiances. It's to have a different culture than the world around us. So this is not how embassies work, but I thought it was for a long time. Growing up, I thought that, and maybe you think this too, that like in an embassy, you know what I'm talking about, the building in another country that's like where the ambassador to, say, the United States lives and works. I always thought that that was like a part of the United States. You know, so it's just like a little area of the United States inside of another country where American laws operate and where if you go there, you know, like you're safe because you're on home territory. Well, let's pretend that's how it works. If that's how it worked, then the church, in a sense, I'd love to think of it in a physical sense as the campus of the church, but actually what it really means is the people of the church and everywhere they go is like an embassy of the kingdom of God. When you come into this place, there are different rules and laws than in the surrounding country. In this place, it's not the law of the jungle. It's the law of grace, right? It's not, you are what you do. It's you are who you belong to, right? There are different rules operating. A different citizenship is held, and different rights come with it. But because of that, we live differently. And so sometimes I think about people coming into this place during the week. It's almost like they're leaving the world and coming into the embassy of the kingdom, you know, to check in with their real home, you know, the kingdom of God, the place where they're headed. And they're going to go in the end to get protection and safety and to get nourished and rebuilt, to go back out into an alien world where there are different rules that aren't as good and that are not as helpful. So does that make sense at all? Well, if the church is like an embassy, it's also a witness, right? Because this is what Israel was for. They were supposed to be a people in the midst of the world living in an entirely different way from everyone else so that the world would see it and understand that the Lord was a different kind of God, that he was holy and that he was mighty and that he was righteous. And so their being different, a different people, was meant to be a witness. And so true for us also. The church collectively is a witness in the way that an individual never can be. If I go out into the world, into the office, and I'm really nice and kind to people and stuff, people are just going to be like, "Dustin's a weird guy, you know? Like, he's kind of weird. I don't know why he does the stuff that he does. He's nice. Maybe I like him, but he's a strange guy." But when you see like 50 people who act that way, you're like, there's something going on over there. It's not just a weird person. There's like something else happening. But what's also cool is that if I, by myself, embody different values, and it's just me, then people look at that and go, well, maybe I can be like that too, maybe. But if there's a community that lives that way, then it's invitation. Because you can join a community. You can go become a part of a community that's different. You can't become a part of my nuclear family. You can't come and live with me. Well, maybe you can. But you can do that in a church. And so the church is like another nation. It's like the kingdom, in a sense, because it's a witness, and it's a different kind of culture. Last thing I'll highlight on this kingdom metaphor is that thinking about the church as a new nation is kind of also important, because as Americans, we're used to believing very deeply that we are in charge. I am in charge of my own life. I'm in charge of, and really the purpose of government in the American system is to serve the people and allow us to live out our individual liberties to our own ends, right? That's what it's for, and that's good. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But in the kingdom of God, Jesus is king. And so the church is a place where we're actually able to come in and learn this new value that we're called to submit to an authority higher than us. And that sounds like bad news, but it's actually really good news, because we need that. Because at the end of the day, we're not that great, actually, at knowing what's best for us or even what makes us happy. And we pursue all kinds of things that lead us down these false alleys. So in the church, one metaphor is that it's like a new kind of nation with different values, with different culture, under a different kind of authority. And so can you see that picture? It's almost like we're a bunch of people living scattered around inside another country, but we've got a different president, different set of rules, and we're living according to those, even though we don't necessarily have to, as we live mixed into this other land. Very much like Israel did during the many, many, many years of the diasporas, right, where Israel didn't exist and all the people were scattered all over the world and lived in other nations among other peoples, but they continued to live as God's people. That's kind of what the church is like. Not as a political entity, but as people who say, okay, but Jesus is my king, and I'm going to live accordingly. And as we do that, the kingdom of God is on the move, right? Okay, that's the first metaphor. The second one about what the church is family. The church is family. It is the place where humanity is reconciled to each other by being united in Christ. The biblical way this one works, right, is that God is Father. We know that He is Father. And then it talks about it different ways. Like Jesus is bridegroom and the church is His bride. But we also see that Jesus is our brother and that we are brothers and sisters together in Christ. It talks about us as God's children. And then if we're children, you know, heirs with Christ. So there's this familial metaphor to what the church is. So here are some ways that this seems really helpful to me. Again, over and against this idea that the church is merely like a shop that I can go to as a consumer to get help for my personal spirituality. As children, we don't really get to choose our families necessarily. Sometimes we're chosen, but the kid doesn't usually get to choose their family. But even though we don't, it's a permanent relationship. It's a hard relationship often. But in the hardness, it's typically one of the places of greatest relational worth. So what I'm saying is that in the world with friends and acquaintances and coworkers, when things don't work out, we can just go our separate ways, right? And we usually do, because relationships are hard. But in families, and unfortunately sometimes families break to the point where it works like that too, but in families, so much more so, we're kind of stuck with each other. And so, by the grace of God, we're called into working through really hard things and being together in the middle of our yuckiness. But because of that, as we invest in those things, we have relationships. There's the possibility of having relationships that have so much more power and worth and value because we've stuck through thick and thin together, because we've invested so much in each other, because we've loved each other when it wasn't easy. So too in the church. If we take seriously that this isn't a light commitment, that it's actually a place where we have been bonded together and made one in the blood of Christ, as we share one body and through the one bread, we become one. The stuff that we say when we're presiding at communion, if that stuff's true, then that means that to be a part of the church is to have more than a casual association with a group of other people who agree with the same set of ideas that we do. It means that we've become a family and that we've got to figure out how to love each other and how to live with each other, even when it's not easy. And that's hard and it's messy, but it's worth it. Families are also the places where we learn how to live, how to be. Our parents and our siblings present examples to us that teach us what it means to be a person, really. You know, we learn a lot by going to class. We learn a lot by going to school. This is what we've been talking about through this whole class. But there's no education more powerful than the example of those ahead of us who live with us. And really, what we've been saying every week up to this point is the church is a place where we have the opportunity to have that same experience in Christ, where we don't just go to class to learn new information, but we're surrounded by people who are pursuing the same ends that we want to pursue. These good examples, these powerful stories that are lived out around us that capture our hearts and that we soak up and have rubbed off on us so that we become more like Jesus. It's another way of saying that discipleship really isn't something we can do by ourselves. We can sit and read our Bibles and we can do those things, and that's good. But if you're not with other people who are striving to those same ends, striving to follow Jesus, it's just going to be so much more difficult. And maybe you're a stronger person than I am, but I don't think I can do it alone. I really, really don't. So the church is like a family. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? The third metaphor that I'll bring forward, the church is like a new nation, it's like a family. The third thing that Scripture shows is that the church, it calls the church the body of Christ, right? It says that it is Jesus' body. Jesus is the head, he directs us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells the church, he is literally living his life through us in the world, making us his hands and his feet. So Jesus is the head, and we are the parts of the body. The Spirit animates the whole thing and brings it to life. I love this picture, and I think it's so, so helpful. We are full of differences, but we're undivided. We're unified in our incredible variety through Jesus, by the head, and the common purpose and direction that he gives us. Again, that calling into unity and relationship with him, and that sending out as his image bearers in the world. And the really beautiful thing about that, that speaks directly against this thing that we bring again of the church as a place where I get support for my personal spirituality, is that we need each other. We are incomplete alone. There is great value in our differences. God has made us each unique and beautifully and wonderfully, but we're not complete by ourselves. We need each other. The church functions at its best when all the parts are working together at full strength. So, spiritual gifts and the things that God has put in each one of us are sort of like the building blocks of the church. That means that whoever you are, whatever gifts that you have, whatever God has given you, whatever he's put into you to have passion for and to do, to care about, those things wouldn't be there if the church didn't need them. Now, it may be your experience that the church often only has an imagination for a very narrow group of gifts. Are you a good public speaker? Can you play the guitar and, you know, sing in harmony? Can you manage large groups of children? We have a place for you. But those are the things we need to pull off a service on Sunday. But the church, what we're saying is it's so much more than that. It's a community of people trying to live in a different direction as a family under a different Lord. And in that context, there's the need for so many gifts. And when we have the gifts, we're healthy and strong. When the gifts aren't brought forward and used, then we're limping and crippled. There are gifts of the creation of beauty and story and art. There are gifts of creating order. There are gifts of making peace and creating justice. There are gifts of hospitality. There are gifts of service. There are gifts of mercy. There's every kind of gift. Whatever God has put in you that is good, he means it for the building up of the church. You need to use these gifts. You're made to. It's part of how God has made you. It's part of his invitation to you to live into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the church needs them too. So, these three pictures, the body, the family, and a nation. You see how kind of each one of those makes sense? You see how those things kind of operate? So when you're joining a church, you're saying yes to Jesus, but you're also affirming that saying yes to Jesus means saying yes to his people. You can't say yes to the head and not the rest of the body. Jesus says, hey, come to me. but look, I got all this stuff attached to me, and guess what? It's part of me, and it's a mess. But I promise if you come and get in on it, that I'm going to use it, even though you can't believe it, by faith, I'm going to use this messy thing to perfect you, to help you become the person that I've always intended for you to be. It's in the midst of this messiness that I will meet you. All the trouble and complexity of church and the relationships in it and its imperfection are not in the way of our coming to Christ. They are actually the very place where Jesus wants to meet us and draw us into himself and to show us that he is a good Lord and indeed our Savior. So, saying yes to the church, it means saying yes to being loved, letting people love you, to giving love even when it's hard. It means saying yes to God's purposes with other people. It's a group project, and we all know those are harder. Being used in your particular way with your gifts and your personality exactly the way he made you to be. It doesn't mean fitting into some kind of cookie-cutter thing. And if you come to me and I don't know what to do with you, you know, by God's grace, I'm not going to say, we don't know what to do with the person, like you were going to say, let's figure it out together, right? Like, that's what the church is called to do. There are no vestigial organs in the body, okay? Whatever God has given you, he means to use it in his church, whether I understand what that looks like or not. And I want to say this too, because, again, this does kind of lead up to the confirmation conversation that Robert will have with you guys next week. There are other good churches, right? Part of what we believe is that we are not the only real church. Like there are other places where the Holy Spirit moves and God is at work in the world and in this city. But what I would challenge you with is that the thing is to be genuinely committed to one of them. To be somewhere in particular ways. It doesn't do any good to be committed to the church as an idea, as an abstraction, as a hypothetical. We've got to be somewhere actually giving our life in a real community, in real ways. Otherwise, there's no room for these things to take hold in our lives. It's going to be messy. And we all know how easy it is, even if we're members of a church, to be there in a way that's mostly avoidant and keeping the messiness at bay. Committed relationships are hard, but they're worth it. So once we are in a church of our choice, possibly St. Andrew's, these are the things that we should be looking for. And this is kind of a summary of the class in a way, but it's also using these metaphors we've used. We should be looking for real ways that the King's rule is going to change our lives. Every day, day by day, we're looking for ways that his rule gets real. Places, what we say discipleship is all about is submitting every part of our lives over time to the grace of God. Because I think my life needs to go this way. Jesus says it needs to go this way. Repentance is where I say, oh, you're right. Actually, that is better. I'm going to put this down and I'm going to walk in this direction. Even though it doesn't fully feel like a good idea to me yet, I'm going to start walking in that direction. That's what repentance looks like. That's what belief looks like. And it's a whole lot easier to do it in community than it is to do it alone. If you've seen someone do it who can walk with you, that makes all the difference in the world. So looking for ways, once in the church, that the King's rule changes my life in specific places and ways. That's the first one. The second thing I'm looking for is the opportunity to enter into new relationships, costly relationships with this new family, to actually begin to be in relationships, not to hold it at arm's length, but to begin to have real relationships. And the third thing, what I just alluded to, I'm going to be looking for ways that I can use the things God has given me, my unique gifts, my unique wiring, to build up the body. You do a study of the gifts, that's what it says they're for the building up of the body. So how does God want to use me in his church for my good? Doing these things in community is basically what it means to be a disciple. And we want to invite others to join us in this as we go ahead. That's what making disciples is like. So we are coming under authority, the King. We are being vulnerable with the family. And we're taking responsibility, going out as the body. We are receiving power from the King to effect his purposes and to live for him. We are enjoying belonging by coming into this community. We are being given purpose as a part of the body. We know what we're supposed to do. This is funny and off topic, but I had a person recently tell me that with they were dead serious, but they were also appreciating the humor of it, that they felt like God had showed them that I was the big toe. Like that was the part of the body of Christ that I am. And I love that. Like it's that was so encouraging to me because they were like, well, you know, the big toe is like kind of where the rubber meets the road on the one hand. It's like, you know, where the church is coming into contact with the world, but it's also pushes the church forward. And I love that. So maybe someone can have a vision. Maybe you're a spleen, maybe you're a, you know, a ligament. I don't know, but I'm thankful for that. That's the kind of thing that can happen in real community. People can say things to you like, I think you're a big toe. Thanks be to God. In the way of confession, friends, we're not great at this. All these things that I'm holding up to you are where we want to go. St. Andrew's is not great at this, but it's what Scripture calls us to be a family, to be a new nation, to be the body of Christ, and it's what we want to be. We haven't realized it fully, and you aren't expected to either. You don't have to have all this worked out or be like, yeah, I'm 90% there on all three, so I can get involved. I'm coming in. No, you don't have to be able to do those things. In 50 years, you won't perfect them. There is grace for that. This is where we want to go. It's how we want to learn. And if you're willing, it's how we want you to join us, what we're heading towards together. In summary, I guess I'm saying that the church asks a lot more of us than we probably realized, but it's also offering us a lot more than we probably knew. So the question today to reflect on, and as you go out, is church worth it? Is it necessary? That's a question. Some of the questions I've posed over the weeks are questions that you wouldn't be asked otherwise. But implicitly, this is a question that you're answering with what you choose to do and invest in every week, right? Like, you may not have thought about it. You may not have set aside time to think, is church worth it? But you're making a decision about that every time you participate or don't participate. Is church worth it? Well, I'm calling that question out into the front to actually be considered, to be weighed. And as you think about that, I hope that you'll reflect on the things that we've talked about. How is God inviting me into this new nation, into this family, into this body? And every week what we've done has kind of set up the weeks ahead. I already told you this morning that next week is confirmation talk. And so for some of you who have just visited this class and even are here for the first time today, that's going to be a little bit of a, perhaps, a weird one to come to because it's talking about joining the church and stuff. And you're like, I didn't mean to come to this. But come anyway and see what it's all about. You don't have to join. That's not going to actually happen next week. But that week and then the two where we're hearing about what's going on in the church, let's frame those in the context of what we've talked about in the body. If I'm going to be here, what we're giving you is the opportunity to hear a lot about the different parts of the body and how they're functioning. And so as you're hearing those, part of the question you can ask yourself is that a place God would call me to connect in community? Is that a place where God would call me to build relationships and to serve and to use the gifts? Is that a place where my gifts could be used? Or maybe you notice, I don't hear a place for that. So instead of saying, well, I didn't hear a thing that sounds like it's me, there's an invitation right here to come and talk to me, come and talk to Kathy, and tell us that. So we can say, well, I guess we're going to need another thing next time because God's raising something up new among us. So we can discern that together. The question then that I give you for this week and for the next few weeks, since I won't be teaching, but I think it holds them together, is how is Christ inviting you to take your place in his church? That's the question. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, when I'm done, we've got time for a couple of questions. I'm not in the next service today, so I have time to hang around and talk if anybody needs that. But we've got time for a couple of comments or questions. Mike?
In the Nicene Creed, we talk about the Catholic small c church. In America, one of our benefits is if we don't like McDonald's, we can go to Wendy's or wherever. We can like them all.
That's right.
You're talking about the church. And so there's a difference between the Catholic Church and this church.
Right.
How does this church pull us into the Catholic Church?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when Michael's talking about the Catholic Church, he's talking about the universal church, like God's body around the whole world, whatever you call it, however it functions. What I would say to that is there's no way to be a part of the big church without being a part of a specific church somewhere. You know, you can't do it. You can't say, I believe in the big church, unless you're in the church in some small, actual, real, local place. And that's kind of weird, but that's just how it works. And so, I mean, there's a lot that can be said about how that's true spiritually and also practically. I mean, one of the things that I appreciate about the Anglican Church is that while we are sorting all kinds of things out and there are places of disunity that you can certainly point to that are very real, at least our intention is to be connected to the body of Christ in real ways around the world. If you were in the first service or if you're going to the second, you will have heard or will hear about a deep relationship we have with brothers and sisters in Haiti. You know, you can hear about other times about how we're overseen by, you know, believers in Tanzania and how my orders are in Tanzania. And I, you know, look to a bishop from Kibondo there. Real ways that we are joined together. You know, we pray regularly for our brothers in other parts of the world. And so we can't have a current and active relationship with believers across time and space all at once. But God has called us and given us real ways to be joined with the body global. And that is a blessing. And it calls us, it teaches us things, and it humbles us, and it's good. Kathy, you had something.
I just also wanted to say that part of what Robert is going to do next week is talk about the membership covenant.
Yes.
And what it means to commit to this local body. And we've said all along, everybody who comes is invited, but nobody's required. So this will be that time where you can look and see, what are we asking one another to commit to be a part of this local body? And he'll also talk about the leadership of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's helpful.
Do you see a difference then in confirmation and commitment?
Absolutely.
Would confirmation be something that could have already taken place to join the Catholic Church?
Yeah, that's possible.
Without necessarily having committed to this church.
That's absolutely right. And in those cases, we don't say they're being confirmed, or say they're being received. So that's sort of technical, and we can talk more about that, but yes. Yeah, Ron.
Could you speak to the application of discipline and oversight? Because I think that is a very important thing, not just to be a consumer, to get out of this church, but to be accountable.
Yeah, that's a great point. So in a kingdom, there are laws. In a family, there is discipline. In a body, even, you know, the head governs the other parts. And so how does that work? Well, hopefully, part of what we're saying we're doing when we join a community like this is agreeing to live under a certain kind of spiritual authority, right? And we talked about before that the only way you can have authority is to come under authority. I wish you could come to one of the services where a priest is ordained. Like, the things that we promise and swear are insane. Yeah, like, we say with God's help like 50 times, and it probably needs to be twice. Because we are saying, by the grace of God, I'm coming under authority, and I will live that way. And so because of that, we're given authority in the church to call other people up into following Jesus, who is the ultimate authority in all of that. I can tell you practically how that looks in a community of grace and healing. If something's going on in somebody's life that we're aware of, that is harmful to them, that is not bringing them more into the kingdom, we're going to approach that with love. We're going to approach it with grace and with truth. Grace and truth together are what love looks like. Truth means, you know, I'm not going to like soft pedal what you don't want to hear because I don't want to have that conversation with you. But grace means that I'm not just going to pound you with it, and I'm not going to leave you alone to deal with it by yourself. I'm going to walk with you in it. So grace and truth, that's how Jesus came, and that's how we desire to come together in these things. And basically, I mean, this is my rule of thumb. If somebody, I'm more concerned about trajectory than location. Are you willing to come? Are you willing to come into conversation and work through whatever is going on together? If you're willing to come in submission to Christ and our leadership, then we're going to work on it together. The only time a person would, like, you know, be done is if they're, like, balking and saying, no, you know, we will not. And in a sense, when you make a move like that, you're removing yourself. You're saying, I will not be led. I will not be helped. And I don't even think Jesus relate. You know, when people say, I will not be helped, Jesus says, okay. and so that's how we try to operate. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, I come from the Presbyterian background where there's elders.
Right.
And you have an elder that kind of oftentimes will work with you and your family.
Yeah.
I'm wondering maybe the who and the how.
Yeah. I mean, it's done through pastoral staff. There's not a highly developed structure and system for that. It's pretty relational. But we are the ones who would do that. And we might, depending on the situation, invite other people into that from the body of Christ as was appropriate to walk with you. It just depends on what's going on. So I don't have a whole lot of structure to point to in regard to that, but does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe one more? Okay. Well, again, keeping in mind that, and I want to remind you of this, the last two that I do, so it's going to be 3 weeks, but then I'll do two more. One, we're going to walk through the bulletin, so we're going to go step by step through the service. We'll explain what's going on, talk about specifics. I think that'll be helpful. But then last week, we're going to do a brief review, and also you'll have time for whatever questions you have. It's mostly going to be a Q&A time. So you have questions about Anglicanism, you have questions about all kinds of things. Why are those people? Who are those other people wearing white robes up front that aren't you guys? What's that about? Like, whatever questions you have, bring them, and I'll do my best to address them with you guys together. And of course, you don't have to wait for that. Like, you can always communicate with me offline, and I'm happy to talk. But that is an opportunity that I want to put before you, because often whatever question you have, somebody else probably has too, and you have lots of time, like a month, to think about it and be getting ready to bring those. Does that sound okay? Okay, guys, thank you so much. Blessings. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.